Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. This week's online video picks are up on our website. Each week we select five web videos and I anchor them on our site. This week's picks include the marshmallow test. Can preschool kids resist one marshmallow for 15 minutes, knowing they'll get two if they can wait? It's a famous psychological experiment, now a video version on YouTube, and a rock anthem for our healthcare system. It's called Wear Number 37. See our five video picks at WNYC.org/video. We'll spend our last 10 minutes or so today hearing from a renowned cardiologist, Olivier Amison, who kicked a serious drinking problem with the help of a prescription drug called baclofen. It's a muscle relaxant not approved for anti-addiction use. He is now on a quest to get big clinical trials done on the safety and effectiveness of this drug for this purpose, and he has a new book called The End of My Addiction. And it really raises fundamental questions about how we think of addiction, not just whether a certain medication is good for a certain patient. Dr. Amison, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian, for having me with you.
Tell us a little of your story. You were drinking so heavily you retired from your cardiology practice?
Yes, I decided because that I could become hurt my patients, and therefore I went to the chairman of the Department of Medicine at Cornell, where I was associate professor of medicine and attending physician, and told him, look, I don't want to expose patients to the risk. He commended me, actually, because nobody has ever done that. He told me I can point at all the lashes there, and they don't do what you do.
And so you had some ethics there, it sounds like. So how much did you try, in terms of other more traditional ways, to give up your drinking before you tried this medication?
Well, Brian, I tried them all. To me, it was a disease, and I'm a physician, and when I see somebody with high blood pressure or any type of disease, there's usually what we call an assessment, test, and a plan. So I asked colleagues around me, and basically some of them told me, oh, is it somebody close to you? And if I said yes, they stay away from that person. There was no help. Others told me, and when I said it's me, they said, oh, too bad. And I said, what can I do? Some told me, experts, why don't you go to AA? But the same quality experts told me AA is nothing. It's a program that doesn't work. So ended up, anyway, I kept drinking. I was a binge drinker. I never drank while I work. And in the end, I ended up ending up in emergency room, in detox, and in rehabs where I spent month and month, but the thing is, every time, although in rehab, they told me you're a star, you'll get out of here sober. I drank the day I got out of rehab because of overwhelming craving.
Where did you hear about this muscle relaxant?
Well, actually, this disease affects 10% of the population. It kills 300 patients a day. Which is huge, more than any cancer, and the current treatments basically, I didn't know then, do not work. I mean, people who are treated conventionally relapse in 80% of the case because they are abstinent, and abstinent entails extreme efforts not to drink. Your life is, how will I not drink today? How will I not drink today? So you can be abstinent 15 years. You had the effort. How did I? So I was going from hospital to hospital, and I knew I'd say my intellectual instinct told me there must be a cure because it's a disease. So I didn't, at some point where I was going so low and, blamed, I had a disease and I was blamed for it.
And someone else had been trying this because you read about it, right?
Well, no, not someone. Well, no. Interestingly, a patient actually at the University of Pennsylvania, Edward Coleman, actually was reported in the New York Times. He was a paraplegic and also an alcoholic and an addict to cocaine. And he was using it for his muscle spasm, which is the indication of baclofen. Baclofen is a muscle relaxant. So,
he discovered that it was curing his alcoholism at the same time.
Oh, no, it wasn't curing anything. Otherwise, he'd be cured. He's still always at the poorest guy. He's an addict. I'm not even sure he's alive. No, it didn't cure. What he said It's funny, docs. It reduces my craving, but you'd say, what's new in that? Because there are other medications. The whole thing is to reduce craving. So a medication like naltrexone and acarprosate that do that, they do it. But the thing is, all those medications haven't affected mortality. I mean, people die the same way than before. So I thought, why should I try it? Because it was a muscle relaxant, and I had anxiety and muscular tension. So I thought muscular tension could help me if that's resolved.
And we should say, baclofen, at least according to your book, does not get you high.
No.
It's not a euphoric, and it's not addictive itself.
No, not at all.
How does it work?
How does it work? If we go directly to the neurophysiology, and basically it works in the brain, in the amygdala, and I don't want to be too technical, but basically it reduces the release of glutamate and of dopamine. In other words, people who have compulsion, and that's not only drinking. We have now 350 or 400 patients who have stopped drinking, but also cigarette smoking, cocaine, binge eating, and bulimia. And the reason for that is that it basically renders you indifferent, not abstinent to alcohol. So you can see alcohol, it does nothing to you. And that's what I'm doing.
You mean you can drink, but it doesn't get you drunk?
You put here a glass of scotch. Normally, I'd be in the emergency room. I mean, I'd go crazy and be in an emergency room. I'd drink. Now you can put a glass of scotch or a vase or a flower. It does nothing to me, and I won't drink it. And if I drink it, it doesn't induce craving because baclofen's protective me. If I wanted to, I could not relapse. It's impossible for me. I've tried.
Right. It's not that it does something to the effects of alcohol. It's that stops your craving for it.
Yes. Basically, what it does is, you know, satiation. With bulimia, you're never satiated, nor with alcohol. All of a sudden, you can control drinking.
I would have been very skeptical of this.
Right.
And, of course, you know, I am, you know, professionally a skeptic on this. But, I mean, I probably would have just looked past your book if you were not published by a publisher, Sarah Crichton, who I respect so much, her integrity, and referred by an addiction counselor who I know personally, who I also respect.
John Taylor.
And your book was out in Europe before it came out here. You know, the skepticism is, well, gosh, the guy's behind a drug. You don't want to ever say, just take this drug. Is he with a pharmaceutical company, whatever? And you're not, right?
I have no conflict of interest. I lost a lot of money. I was spending this trip. It cost me thousands of dollars. I mean, all is out of pocket. I made no dime with it.
And all you're calling for is a clinical trial to see if this can work as well for others as for you. Is someone against that?
Well, yes. I didn't know. I thought, you know, in 2004, which is 5 years ago when it was published in one of the best journals, Alcohol and Alcoholism, I thought now I've done my job and they'll do a clinical trial. But they didn't. I corresponded with pretty much all addiction specialists in the world, in academia. They all said, well, not now, whatever. There is, as you know, in medicine, as you know, there's conflicts of interest, which JAMA exposes, the New York Times exposes.
No one owns a patent on this drug.
No.
Is that the obstacle to clinical trial?
No
pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for a pharmaceutical company?
Well, that's the easy person to blame. You know, the nice scapegoat is the drug company. I wouldn't blame the scapegoat, the drug company, because that's an easy way out. No. Who I blame now is academia. They know this is the only evidence-based model that in animals completely suppresses their desire to consume alcohol, cocaine, whatever. And that in men, I mean humans, we have now 400 and something documented cases in academia worldwide. Why do they not do that? Well, that's for them to ask. I mean, I've heard that some are just afraid that all of a sudden comes a drug and that basically they will be out of a job. I've heard that when I gave a lecture at NYU Bellevue.
Out of a job. But is it not more complicated than taking a pill? What about the validity of the idea of alcoholism as, alcoholism as having other kinds of roots? Don't people also need to deal with the roots of their addictive tendencies?
Yes, well, exactly. As I describe in the book, in all my medical papers, not everybody becomes an alcoholic. You need to be either to have anxiety or depression to get there. But the thing is, baclofen isn't the drug that's designed for alcohol or the addiction. What it takes care of is the anxiety. I no longer have the anxiety and depression. That's why I take it. I don't care about it. I've been cured 6 years ago.
Do you think we have a kind of misplaced morality in this country that resists medication as a cure for addiction?
I certainly think there is dogma, morality, and that's not only in this country. Let's not blame the U.S. now. But I think we have an approach which is, I mean, when I hear academics, which I think is really anti-academic, say, oh, I'm telling you it cannot work. It's too beautiful to be true. I mean, you know, what we do is put things, we test them. I mean, that's evidence-based medicine and clinical trials. None of them has done it, and they have the funds, and they just keep trying medications that are inefficient and do not do it. That's the scandal. And patients die of this disease. So I think it's a grave thing not to conduct a clinical trial. But meanwhile, you should treat patients.
We just have 45 seconds left.
Sure.
Your book was out in Europe before it came out here. You've been on the BBC. You've gotten a lot of press coverage over there, generated controversy. Have you found different reactions on the two continents?
Yes, actually. Well, in academia in the United States, there is. I gave a talk at NYU. I'm going to Colombia tomorrow. Giving grand rounds everywhere, and they are jumping on it. I mean, they tell me you changed the world. I mean, addiction is a revolution. In Europe, in France, for example, the academics were very much against, but the press, the patients, and GPs. And actually, it's getting now in the hands of general practitioners they prescribe it. It's 90% efficient in suppressing the addiction. 90% of patients who take it stop.
Well, we'll see if you get your clinical trial, if that actually holds up in a large population. But Dr. Olivier Amison wants that clinical trial of baclofen for anti-addiction use, and his book is called The End of My Addiction, coming out in paperback in January under the title Heal Thyself. Thank you very much for joining us.